The following recording is offered by the Village Zendo. For more information, please visit villagezendo.org.
Good to go. Thank you both so much. And for everyone, it's so lovely to see you all here together. Let me just skim through my four screen loads to see your faces. Beautiful. So lovely. And then these black boxes, I guess you guys are just enjoying the sun. Anyway, that's great. You know, it's such a time we're living in. It's tumultuous time that we're living in. And we're so fortunate that some of us were able to sit yesterday for half a day in the Zazen Kai. I found that incredibly calming because I have been truly doom scrolling constantly, it seems to me, since last spring. It has been just on and on and on. And my body and your body probably also really can respond to the quiet moments that we take, that re-entering to the truth of our lives, of our bodies, in just this moment of time, not last week, not yesterday, this moment of time. You know, of course, all of us are experiencing such, we've begun to forget that since March, our day-to-day lives have been obscured, and the worldwide epidemic that's going on is so concerning. And there, on the one hand, there's people's lives, and on the other hand, people talking about the financial impact and on their own lives, gain and loss of a human life. And then we hear about the earth, and we find out that because of so many lockdowns, that actually there's some benefit to the ending of so much pollution that's going on. And here in this country, you know, it's the contempt for any difference. It's bizarre. The way any sense of a community, it seems fractured. People contracting into points of view and unable to meet one another as humans. It's a time to stop and calm ourselves, I think, so that we can confront the racism and all the other isms that tear our wholeness apart. The fracturing of white privilege is devastating to some who have only that to cling to. So we do need to find ways to begin anew, to reach out and guide those who are tormented and deluded, frightened, misinformed, dare I say, conned. We need to teach one another through our words and actions, teaching tolerance, balance, power of an open heart. One way I think is very helpful for us all is to connect with each moment that we're living, to serve this very moment, not the one we read about or heard about or thought about yesterday, but today's moment. I think for me, that attention to this now is what drew me to Zen study and practice. Each moment is alive and new, matter how profound or poetic the teachings are, they only serve as a pointer to what is arriving, to what is actually here now. So naturally, there's a koan that points to this, speaks to a way of being present to what is needed, what is real, rather than what we've been told, what we thought yesterday, what we read, but what is true now. It's in the in several koan collections. It's in the Book of Serenity, the Mumon Kan, and it's called Joshu's Washables. There's the case. Joshu, a monk asked Joshu, "I've just entered the monastery. Please give me some guidance." Joshu says, "Have you had your breakfast yet?" Monk says, "Yes, I've eaten." Joshu says, "Then go wash your bowl." So simple, huh? It's so direct and complete. This is the signature of Joshu's teachings, really. And so it's so simple, but I think it's so hard to take in and to let it be a guiding principle in our lives. Because the koan is pointed to those who genuinely, honestly, sincerely seek clarity, seek enlightenment. And we do that through study, teachings, listening to talks like this. And yet, the Dharma is not that. That monk is asking for esoteric teachings. And Joshu says, "What about right now? Have you had your breakfast? Then wash your bowl." Looking, instead of looking for the teachings in a Dharma talk or a ritual or a book, instead continuously taking the teachings and washing them away, just as we wash our breakfast bowls. Wash them to reveal what is present in this moment. What is alive now. You know, it's a traditional Zen posture, actually. We're able to let go of our fixed notions, and that is what it is to be free. To be alive in this moment. We become fresh, and then we're able to meet spontaneously what arises. Whether it be from the ancients, a koan that suddenly becomes alive to us, or something from social media and digital gossip. So, the truth really only arises through the meeting of ourselves and what is happening in the moment. It is how we meet the moment, moment by moment, fresh to what is appearing before us. So as I was studying this koan and trying to think about how to take it into my life right now, last week, you know, I was sitting and suddenly horns honking everywhere, jubilant voices, people clapping in my apartment complex. And it was, of course, when Biden was pronounced the elected president. It was like a new moment. Problem solved. This is what I thought in the moment. I thought, problem solved. As long as I didn't take the bait and think that everything would be fine, that all the programs from the new government would be beneficial, would be addressed, that racism and climate change and poverty would suddenly be seen for what they are, and things would begin to change. As Wansong, who wrote a comment on the koan, said, "They swallow the hook out of greed for the bait. They swallow the hook out of greed for the bait. There I was. The hook is any fixed insight, any teaching, any realization of how to do anything, of how to be. We always have to beware of our own easily swallowed teachings. We always need to check ourselves, ask ourselves, but what about now? How is it in this moment of time? If we were to condense our whole lives and all of time right down to this very moment, what kind of moment would that be? Cue Dogen's Enji. Dogen Zenji, the medieval Zen philosopher monk, offered words on this question. May help us to discern how we can meet this moment in our lives here at the end of 2020. He writes, "Yet an ordinary person who does not understand Buddha Dharma may hear the words, the time being, this way. For a while, I was 3 heads and 8 arms. For a while, I was an 8 or 16 foot body. This is like having crossed over rivers and climbed mountains. Even though the mountains and rivers still exist, I have already passed them and now reside in the jeweled palace and Vermilion Tower. Those mountains and rivers are as distant from me as heaven is from earth." So it starts off, this is the way we typically understand time, or ourselves in time. For a while, I was 3 heads and 8 arms. For a while, I was an 8 or 16 foot body. The 3 heads and 8 arms traditionally are these asuras, these feisty demonic creatures. That really captures my state of mind. Over this past year, one could say, for a while, I was 3 heads and 8 arms. And the 8 to 16 foot body, it symbolizes the wisdom of the Buddha, the boundless nature. The Buddha is often portrayed as a 16-foot body. So it's the nature of a vision that includes rather than rejects, that listens rather than preaches. So we could paraphrase it for our own experience. For a while, I was frenzied with multiple ways of reacting and 3 ways of coming to grip with every situation. And then, for a while, I was as calm and equanimous as a Buddha. Sound familiar? This is sort of like saying, having worked and donated and persuaded and marched and made phone calls for the election, even though there are still challenges in the world, I am now here at peace in my country, and all those old challenges are far away from me. So I am now sitting in the jeweled palace of my own enlightenment, my own satisfaction with the situation. Or we could paraphrase it and say, okay, we did it, let's move on. Biden won, now back to my personal life. But Dogen says no. He says, we're always responsible. He says, it's not that simple. At the time the mountains were climbed and the rivers crossed, you were present. Time is not separate from you. And as you are present, time does not go away. As time is not marked by coming and going, the moment you climb the mountains is the time being now. If time keeps coming and going, you are the time being now. This is the meaning of the time being. Does this time being not swallow up the moment when you climbed the mountains and the moment when you resided in the jeweled palace and vermilion tower? Does it not spit them out? So that's a lot to wash your bowls out. I'm going to parse it a little bit because I think it profoundly speaks to our practice right now, our reality, our insights, and the world that we are inhabiting. They are not two. We think they're two, but they're not two. So he says, you know, at the time the mountains were climbed and the rivers crossed, you were present. Time is not separate from you. And as you are present, time does not go away. What is he reminding us? Isn't it that right now, each of us together, here on Zoom, actually take a breath together? Present to an in-breath and an out-breath. As I see someone in the middle of Kupka in Denver, I see someone in San Diego, I see someone right down the street. All of us right now taking a breath. You could say that all the time of our practice, whether we began practicing last week or 40 years ago, all of those hours of study and zazen have led to this moment where we feel clear, however briefly, clear as a Buddha. And also, I think, what Dogen is telling us that within each one of us, all of history is residing. When we open our hearts and open our understanding and just kind of glimpse our interdependence with all that has ever been, then we can recognize the joy and the beauty of this very moment. The depth of our being now. That encompasses all that has ever been. I mean, now. How marvelous is that? And Dogen brings us right there, really quick. As time is not marked by coming and going, the moment you climb the mountains is the time being right now. If time keeps coming and going, you are the time being right now. Dogen, I think, is saying your past, my past, this country's past, this earth's past, is not an abstract time, but is woven into the very web of our lives right now. It is an element in the vastness that has ever been. Every experience in our lives, every witness in our lives, and in the life of the world, is alive and carried through this moment of time. It kind of makes you want to do a full prostration, really. I think that's why we sit zazen, why we are willing to enter samadhi, have a cup of tea, care for our loved ones. It is also why we enter the struggle against tyranny in our government, of brutality in our policing, the necessity to stand up for the benefit of all beings, because we are the time being right now. Each of us, none of us are left out. So Dogen ends this section, which I love this section. This is the meaning of the time being. Does this time being not swallow up the moment when you climbed the mountains and the moment when you resided in the jeweled palace and Vermilion Tower? Does it not spit them out? It's as if Dogen brings us back to this moment, this time being, that swallows, surrounds, and encompasses the past, and thus acts and embodies us in the reality of the moment. Ah, yes, all of this. Isn't your personal history and the world's history tied up with the very moment that you witness, the moment you act, with the moment you sat zazen, and the moment you experienced compassion? And this spitting out, isn't that washing our bowls? Beginning again at the foot of the mountain, at the door of the Vermilion Palace, at the polling place, marching in the streets, in the simple acts of our everyday life. This uji, this meditation on time that Dogen wrote can really be helpful at this time for each of us. If we don't get caught up in a kind of abstraction, but bring each line back into our ordinary lives. It's about our own practice. So if you've enjoyed the meal, I encourage you to wash your bowls. My verse for today to end is, a fine meal indeed after such a long hunger. Still, the bowl's got to be washed, making room for the next moment in time.